So we're going to start right now with the end of Perek Yud Zayin, right? And the end of Perek Yud Zayin, it says that Menashe and whatever, that Menashe ended up getting half their land outside and half of them inside and whatever it is. So Menashe and Ephraim had complained. And they said, there's not enough room for us. How could we go here? How could we go there? So they started complaining and everything like that. Okay. We assumed up until now that every tribe received land proportionate to its size. That was the assumption that we made, that everything was going to be equal. There is an opinion that says the opposite way, because it doesn't make any sense. If everybody received land the exact same size, how could Menashe go ahead and complain and say we didn't get land good enough, big enough for both of us?
The Torah, they went to like the great grandfather and apportioned it per like great grandfather and then divided it up
and put it all down.
Right. Yeah. So it could have been like three generations ago the size of Shvatim, it was proportional.
So that is
now
correct.
Some Shvatim were larger. Than
that's interesting. So we're talking about inheritance here, right? So where does the inheritance start with?
No,
the original.
Said it.
So
he
the original Shvatim.
Either way, Menashe and Ephraim came together over here. It's clear that it was not just Menashe that came through, because it said b'nei Yosef and Yoshua, and it was both b'nei Yosef, Ephraim, and Menashe that came around. Now here's the deal: there is an opinion that says that Ephraim and Menashe were not given equal portions to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Rather, they themselves together got it. In other words, there is a halakha that you are not allowed to take a double portion away from the Bechor and give it to another one of the brothers, right? If Yosef would have taken the double portion in Eretz Yisrael, that meant that Yaakovina was over. I'm taking away the double portion of Reuven and giving it over to Menashe and Ephraim, to Yosef's kids.
Yeah, but before the Torah was given, like, I mean,
regardless, you wouldn't be able to do it now.
Yaakov,
so
the Menashe and Ephraim, you can't do that today either.
Buying the Bechor?
You can't do that today.
You have no ability to buy the actual Bechor, but when the Bechor had rights, then yeah, that could be bought. That was something that was
so
governed. It would have been possible to be able to buy the rights to what the Bechor would have had later on in life.
Right, you can't buy the ability to do Yavoda.
That's what he did. He was able to do that. Of course he could. You have the ability to write.
I mean, a Kohen can't sell it.
Before the Kohen has the rights to it, yes, he could sell it. That wouldn't happen until all the way back to Aaron, but yes, in theory, he'd be able to sell it. That would be that, the rights to it. Regardless, all together,
I mean, like nowadays, if the Bechor still had the ability to do the Avodah, you would not be able to sell it, but that is true.
He had the potential for it.
That is true. Menashe had 52,700 people. Yehuda had 76,500. Yisachar 64,300. Zvulun 60,500. Dan 64,400, which means that all five of those tribes were greater than Menashe. But if you add on Ephraim, which was 32,500, to the 52,700 of Menashe, that was 85,200, which is about 9,000 more than even Shevet Yehuda, which had by far the largest size of an area that was right there. And that was the complaint. That was the complaint on them. Yeshua answered them that they totally misunderstood Yaakov's bracha. Okay? Now, here's the deal. He wasn't going to give a larger portion to Yosef than he was going to be to anybody else. What happened to be was like
that. Property.
Menashe and Ephraim were being told. That the fact is, you have to go in and you have to say, you have parts of the land that you have not conquered yet. You have mountains and hills that you can redo. You're looking at the land and you're saying, well, that's uninhabitable, that's uninhabitable, that's uninhabitable, so therefore we don't have enough land. You do have enough land. It's like a person, if you ever go to New York, right, you say like, oh wow, New York, it's so condensed and there's not enough room and population is just too much. In Manhattan, yeah. But if you go even to Long Island, there are tons and tons and stretches of places where there's absolutely no houses and there's nothing there. There's tons of places over there where there's absolutely nothing. Meaning, if you look for it, you'll find it. You just have to find an area that's not there. That's the pshatim on Menashe and Ephraim. That's the pshatim on what Menashe and Ephraim were saying. Menashe and Ephraim were saying that we didn't get enough room. We didn't have enough room on top of our mountains. And what Yoshua was trying to tell them was, you do have enough room on top of your mountains. You absolutely do. You just have to go look for it. You have to go find it a little bit further, and that's the idea behind it. But Yoshua was not allowed to change the allotted portion. That wasn't going to happen, and that's not going to do. So he told them, two suggestions. Number one, clear the forest land. Number two, go fight together. Go fight together. Those are the two things that he commanded for them. And in the end, he told them that also the mountains were going to be advantageous for you in two different ways. Number one, it stops Ayin Hara, because people won't see you. You'll be all the way up on top of the mountains. So you're so populous, people won't notice it. Number two, you'll always be in the right position for war if you're up on top of the mountain. You can always shoot downward. That's what he suggested for them, and that was the end why Menashe didn't have complaints at the end of the day. Yoshua told that to them, and they accepted it, and that was it.
Well, you're now in their force.
Good question.
I know, it's just, look at this thing. Clearly, it's not equal. And also, where's the division between Shimon and Yehuda?
Quantity, quality, we haven't gotten to Shimon yet, but we'll talk about it when we get there. And quantity and quality is your answer. That's the answer.
Oh, so there is some sort of ratio?
On each term property, you got a little bit.
Right. So that's why these guys get smaller amounts. Why does Zebul and Issachar get...
Don is a little bit off also.
That's very fertile land.
Yeah, Zebul and Issachar is definitely off also, because Zebul definitely hit the Mediterranean Sea. They have to, because they had the Chilazah.
Through the...
So there's no question that they hit all the way there. This whole thing might be a little bit off. I'm not going to argue with that. Don't go with our school. That thing is definitely off in everything and how they put it through. Let's go into Berak Yochatz. But you follow Kol Hadas B'nei Yehoshua.
Yehoshua give the portions to the tribes, and the tribes allocated amongst the families?
Yes. That's what we said last time. So all the Israel gathered to Shiloh. They made the Mishkan, the Ol Moed there, right? And the land was already conquered from in front of them. This idea was going to be exactly like the dedication that they had later on by the Beit HaMikdash, and what they did by the time of the Mishkan by Moshe Rabbeinu. It had to be performed by a Melech and a Navi, and that was going to be Yehoshua altogether. He was going to be around there. Now, up until this point, everything had been waiting in Gilgal. For 14 years, they were busy defeating and conquering and then dividing up the land or whatever it was. And they had to bring the Aron Kodesh with them into battle. Remember, the Aron Kodesh went with them. Either it was the real Aron Kodesh, or it was a different Aron that just had the broken Luchos, but they brought it into battle. Finally, they had time to be able to set up the Mishkan and to make everything happen, and now they decided to do it. That's the beginning of Parak Yichas. However, by Yivasu B'nei Yisrael, Asher Lo Chulku was not lost from Shiv Shvatim, that remained seven Shvatim that did not yet conquer their entire land. How long are you guys going to be lazy to inherit this land? That Hashem your God gave to you, the God of your fathers gave to you. You should have three people wherever you shave, and I'll send them up. They're going to go through the land. They're going to write it down according to the Nachlas, and they should come to me. And they should divide it up into seven different parts. Yehuda Yamalag Vulo, Yehuda should stand in his border, Min Negev, toward the south. Uveis Yosef, Yamgol Gvulam Mitzafon, they'll be toward the north. Vatam Tichtavuza Ar Shiva Chawakim, and then you should divide it up into seven different parts. Vaveis my line, bring it up to me. Haina, to this area. Vyarizalacham Goro Poluk National King, and then I'll give you a girl in front of Hashem. So Yehuda's already taken. Ephraim and Manasseh are already taken. We all know that Gad and Reuven were already taken. So now all that you have left are the other Shvatim. Okay, you have Shimon, obviously Levi, but Levi isn't exactly included. You have Yisachar, Zvulun, right? You have Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. All together, those seven, if you include Shevet Levi, those are the people that still have to get around and get their Nachla and everything like that. Okay, so it says, Yischalkul so l'shiva chalakim, Yehuda Yamarav, I'm sorry, I said that already, V'atam tichu v'zor l'shiva chalakim, and then it says, Ki ein chelak l'levim b'erichim v'cham, but you should know the l'levim are not going to get a chelak amongst you, Ki kun Hashem nachlaso, the kuna of Hashem and everything that he does is going to be his Nachla, the gud v'ruv and chat shev menashe, l'chu nachlas me'evel yardim Yisrael, Hashem nachlas me'evel yardim Yisrael, Hashem nachlas me'evel yardim
Yisrael. Weren't they the ones responsible?
They haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah, but...
You're correct. They're going to get it, but they don't know that yet. I mean, they're not... They don't know what they're going to get. As right now, they don't have a city whatsoever.
Did Moshe give them three on the other side of the Jordan?
And there were set, but that wasn't made for Levium just yet. Or if it was made for Levium outside, but it was just outside Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to live inside Eretz Yisrael. The Shvatim were very worried that they were going to be weakened. That from now on, it was going to be like individual Shvatim fighting by themselves, and no longer was it going to be everyone fighting together. That's what they were worried about. And some of them were even content. They were like, listen, we got what we needed, you know, we're okay for right now. But Yehoshua knew that wasn't enough. You guys are going to grow. And when you grow, there's going to be more land that you're going to need. And these people are going to be living there for a long time. You're going to get used to them after a while. You're not going to want to kick them out. So then you're going to start complaining. So Yehoshua yelled at them. He said, don't you realize that everything was made by a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Come on, keep doing this now. If you keep fighting now, you're guaranteed victory. Because I told you, you'll be victorious. If you wait until later, I can't guarantee you anything. Yehoshua started bringing up three judges from each land. And he told them to walk through all the enemy territory to know how much there was and how much they needed in order to conquer each place. He was promising them that they would come back from their mission alive, and that's what he told them they were going to be able to do. The men got up, and they went. They were told to write down the land, saying, go through the land, write it down, and then come back to me. And that's when I will make the new girl in Shiloh, and I'll make sure everybody gets what they have. Pasuk Tes. They went through the land. They wrote it down and they divided it up in seven different ways. They made a goral in front of Hashem. According to what they actually had, that's what they had. Now, this map is still a little bit off. This is not a full-size map. It definitely has a lot of mistakes over here. I'm just pointing it out to show you like what the basic idea is. One of the main problems that Menashe was entirely huge from one place to the other. Again, Zvulun doesn't even have any water, but we know that Zvulun was well known for the fact that they had the Chilazon and they had the Tchilas. So there's no way that Zvulun could be right there.
Maybe the Chilazon was like in the swampy areas over here.
No, the Rambam says it was in the Yam HaMelech. Now we know he doesn't mean that, so everybody darshans that it refers to the salt sea as opposed to the Kinneret, because the Zohar seems to be Masha that's in the Kinneret, so the Rambam's telling us specifically no, it's in the Yam HaMelech, salty sea. There's four different rayas for that.
It would make sense if it does come from the Kinneret, because they do have
access. According to that, but it does make any sense.
They have an easement? Maybe as an easement through Asher.
That could very well be true. I'm not going to argue on that. I will point out also, by the way, that Yisachar and Dan are also not on this map. I have no idea why. I have no clue why.
You know how
these maps are made just terribly.
But do you realize that from Zvulun to like the sea through Asher is literally like a 5-minute walk?
I don't know what you mean.
Look at it.
A 5-minute walk.
It's like 2 kilometers.
That's not too scale. I mean, yeah, okay.
I'm saying it's like 2 kilometers.
No, it's a couple miles. I would assume it was a couple miles, if not more than that. I mean, it's not that close. We're not talking. Go from the Kinneret to the sea. How much is it from Yam to Yam? What is it? Yam to Yam. What is it?
Like 3 days, right?
It's a couple days. I mean, that's not
walk?
Close.
Yeah.
So this little amount is still a lot of amount. Okay, here we go, guys. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Here we go. Then Yamin came out. And his mate got a goral between Yehuda and between Yosef. Here we go. The Gvul went toward the north from the Jordan River. It went to the edge of Yericho, meets up onto the north of it. Then went to Har Yaman. And then went to an area that was known as the desert of Beis Oven. Then went to Luz. I don't think you have that on the sheets itself. I do not have it on mine. Luz itself.
Might be on this guy.
Yeah, might have. Al Kesef Luza Negba toward the south, he Beis El, otherwise known as Beis El. Yoregvul Asros Ador La Horash Aminegba Beis Goron Tachzon. Then it went to Asros Ador. So look for Beis El maybe. Okay, look for Beis El. Do you see Bethel?
Yeah.
Right over there. Bethel. And then it went to Lower Beis Choron. It went to Lower Beis Choron as well, right below Lower Beis Choron. The Torah Gvul Venasa Lifas Yom Negba, then went to the west. Negba Minahor. Lifas Yom to the west southern side of the mountain. Ashok Negba Choron. Negba. But you told Tosef Kiryas Baal, here carries the arm. They went all the way to Neve. Albin Yehuda Zos Pas Yom. So all the way to Neve, not including Neve, I don't think. Pas Negba Mikse Kiryas Yom. Yotzah Gvul Yom, then went to the west. So Mayan Meneftoach, and then it went to a place called Mayan Meneftoach, which is not on any of our maps over here. The Yardik Wolf Teahor went to the mountain, Ashrop, and a Gay Ben Hinnom, then went all the way to Gay Ben Hinnom, that is the valley that is outside the old city today, right outside of the old city of Yerushalayim when you come out of the old city and you walk out. Shared Amak Rufayim right by the valley of the giants. Safona toward the north, the Yard Gay Hinnom, Al Kazav Yavuzi Negba, they went to the south of the edge where the Jebusites lived, the Yard Ain Rogil. Then they went to a place called Ain Rogil. Tarmi Safon Yatta Ain Shamish, and went by Ain Shamish, Yatta Glilos, Ashenokach, Male Adumin. Right by my living yard, Evan Bohan Ben Ruvain, and went down to this place called Evan Bohan, son of Ruvain. I don't know who that is. Barbara Kesem Mola Rava went to the outer side of the wilderness, Safona in the north, Beard Aravasa. Barbara Gvul Kesem Beis Kogla, they went to Beis Kogla. Beis Kogla I have right over here. You probably have that right around there. Exactly. Beis Chagla is right around over there. Right? All the way to the tongue of where the Yam HaMelech starts. Safona in the north. The edge of the Jordan River. Negba's the Gvul Negev. That's the Gvul all the way to the south. The Yardin will be the eastern border. So it's not like Bebin Yaman Gvul Osa. Around their family. So there's three cities right over here. Yericho, Beis Chagla, and Emek Sitz, Beisel Ravat Smarayim and Beisel, Ha'avim Ba'parav Ha'opro, Kfar Ha'omni, I don't know what it is, Kfar Ha'omni,
Ha'omni,
thank you, Ha'opni Ve'gova, Arum Shemes Yerachashen, that's 12 cities altogether, Givon Haram of the Heroes, Mitzvah Kfira Motza, right, Motza, by the way, is right by Mevaseret, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Right around there. Rekem, Yerpa'el, and Tarala, Sela Ha'eleth, Dayavusi, Yerushalayim, give us Kiryas Yerachashen, Arbes, right, as long as Kiryas, as well as Kiryas Yerachashen, that's 14 cities of Chatzren, Zos Nachos, Ben Yemidam, and Shuchosam, that's what ended up happening. It's interesting because it does say the word Vayal Gorol, which it doesn't say by the other Shatzim, it only says it one other place. The reason why is because Binyamin was an extremely important, very, very special tribe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promised that his Shekhinah would rest among Shevet Binyamin over anybody else. Because Shevet Binyamin was going to be a special thing altogether. And the Mishkan went to him, obviously, and there were other things that happened by Binyamin. Binyamin was very special because they had part of where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be. That was a special, I'm sorry?
Most of the Binyamin.
I believe most of it was Yehuda, but there was a strip that came out from Binyamin.
The strip.
The opposite.
Yehuda got the strip, Binyamin got the whole.
I don't remember. You might be right about there. Where is the word itself? Here. Most of the portion of Yehuda lay far to the south, but there was one strip that extended north into the territory of Binyamin. It reached just up to Yerushalayim, which is then called the city of Yerusalem. Some say the altar itself was in the portion of Binyamin. Others say it was in the portion of Yehuda. Right, but the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh, you are correct. The tail was by
Yehuda. What did Binyamin do to be
Zohar
then?
He was a just, let's remember the Gemara Bava Basra says he never sinned. He never had a chait to his name.
Yaakov,
that's pretty good.
Yaakov,
that's not bad.
Yaakov,
yeah, exactly. And that's what I really said, that he had the bracha of being Ketif of Shachin, that the Shekhinah was going to be among him. That's clear that it was supposed to be the way. What were you showing Binyamin before? You were showing the area? Okay. Either way, Vayitzel Goro Hashem. This is Tark Yud Tas now. Vayitzel Goro Hashem with Shimon and Lati and Shimon and Shacholsam. Inach Holsam the Sofkas is Bnei Yehuda. Okay, the second Goro came out for Shimon, and they had their Nachla within the Nachla of Bnei Yehuda. They all were within Yehuda. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a second. Vayilam Ben Acholsam the Er Sheva, the Sheva Umolado. They had Er Sheva, Sheva and Molado. Chater Shul, Bala and Otzen, El Tolad, Besul and Chorma. 9.
55 kilometers.
Okay.
11 hours.
Okay.
46 minutes.
Mitziklag, Beis Markavos, Chatzar Susa, Beis Lavaos, Shoruchen, and altogether that's Orange Shloshes Shereva Chatzrei. I'll just tell you that I just counted 14, so I must be off on something over here. I'm not so sure what I'm off on. Ayin Rimon the Esther VaAshan, Arim Arba VaChatzrei. Ayin Rimon Esther and Ashan are four cities in their field. Kol Chatzir Mashar Sviyos Arim Eila. Every one of the fields outside of these cities. Abalos Beir Ramas Negev. Zos Nachos Matzav Bnei Shem Lishu Chosam Mechavu Bnei Yehuda. They got their nachla within Yehuda, because Yehuda's chelik was huge. They got it within. Okay, it is weird over here. It says. It is weird because it says by Yetzi Agorol Hasheni Lishimin Lamate B'nei Shimon for the Mate B'nei Shimon. Why repeat it twice? So really, Shimon received two different portions. One portion was taken out of the portion of Yehuda, and one that was not yet assigned to any other tribe. And that's what it means before that. The reason why they were forced to take on land from another tribe is a punishment from what had happened by the times of Zimri ben Salu.
Why did Yehuda get punished and have their land taken away by Shimon?
Because he was huge and he had more land, and that's why the pasuk says it specifically. And Yehuda could also help Shimon. The lesson that we learn from over here is that a person's deeds don't only affect you, it affects your relatives, in particular any descendants that you might have. They will affect you for anything. I mean, every individual therefore bears a great responsibility, he says, because you got to make sure that you don't affect all of your children or anything like
why
that.
Why do they call the 10 exiled tribes? Is it really
it's a good call. No, I've always had that question, because really Binyamin, Yehuda, Levi.
Well, Levi would be half
Shimon.
I guess
Levi and Shimon would have been together, but there must have been some
you
people.
You could say Ephraim and Manasseh is one of them.
It's possible. I mean, it must be that parts of Shimon still remained. It's got to be that parts of Shimon still remained, while other parts of Shimon left. So who knows exactly what it is, and we don't know why. But I don't know why we call the exiled 10 tribes.
People like Burma call themselves the name Manasseh. They like have a tradition that they're from the tribe of Manasseh.
Okay.
And then they're like.
No, I understand. So
I'm just. That's interesting.
Okay. Separate tangent. All right, but Yahweh Goros. So the third girl went out to Zvulun for their family. So the reed went all the way to Zerid. But Allah Gvulun Yama, it went to the Yam. Umaralo, Ufog with the Boshes, and went to the Boshes. Ufog and Achawash opening Yaknaam, went to the Wadi right by Yaknaam. Vishov Misarid Kedma Mizrach Hashemesh to the east of the sun's rising. Advul Kisil Sabor, Yasal Adavras of all of Yafia. Vishom Avar Kedma Mizrach Gita Khefer Ita Katim Yasariman Amazor Aneo. Yasal Gvul Mitzvon, Hanasom Yutasil Gay Yutakel. I'm just going through, guys. Vitatas and Alo, Vishimrom, Yad, Elov, and Vizlakam, Arnishim, and Serbachatran, there are 12 cities. The fourth one came up for Yisachar, according to their families. Okay, that also repeats his name over here. Vayivulim Yisraela, Vaksulos, Vishunim, Kaparayim, Shion, Anacharas, Harabis, Kishon, Ovet, Remes, Enganim, Enchado, Vizpatit, Pogavul, Vitavor, Vishaktsum, what's that word? I don't have it over here.
Shachatzima,
thank you. Beis Shemesh. Vitotus Gulam and Yadin Arim Shesh Esrei, Bechatzarin, 16. Those not been about to be you. You suffer from Zulam, Arim, Bechatzarin. We all know why you suffer from Zulam put together. Zulam paid for your suffer. Suffer sat and learned the entire time. The crops of the lands of Zulam were shared with your suffer, and actually Zulam went into your suffer's land and started plowing there because they knew that your suffer would allow them to, right? And they wanted to take over some of the land. So that's bad. Your suffer sat there and learned the whole time. They weren't involved in doing it. I'm sorry? Yisachar and Zvulun, yeah, both Leah. Both of them Leah. So they worked together the entire time. They were right next to each other, no matter how you look at it. Somehow they were together. Then came the fifth one that went to Asher. So far we got what? We had Menasha, and then we had Shimon, then we had Zvulun, then we had Yisachar, and now we have Asher. It went all the way to Beis Dagon. I would assume it went all the way down to the Phoenician. Pogub is Wulun Bnei Yiftach, Uve Gay Yiftach Il, Tzafona Beis Emek, Uni Eo Vyatol Kulom Yisvol. Alright, the Evron, Rechol, the Chamon, the Konat, Zidon Rabba, the Shavagvul, Rama, went all the way to Rama, the Ad Ir Mitzar Tzor, Shavagvul, Choyzav, Yutot Tzosav, Yama, Mechav, Lachziv. Okay. The Uma, the Apek, Urechov Arim, Esri Mushah, Urechov, I'm sorry, Arim Esri Mushah, Machasran, there were 22 cities altogether. The sixth one went to Naphtali. Right, that's it, went all the way to the Jordan River. He hit Ashra in the west. He hit Zvulun in the south. And by Yehuda, the Jordan, by the east of the sun. He had to awesome cities, Naphtali. Tver, Hamas, Rakas, and Kinaris. Hamas, says the Gemara, may be referring to Tveria. Other people say that Rakas is referring to Tveria. Kinaris was a city that had shown it right around there, and Hamas is right there as well. Kinaris is, without a question, supposed to be a place where there were unbelievable sized fruits. The fruits were absolutely delicious and huge. That's where it comes from. That's where it's all based on. The Adama, the Harama, the Chatzor, the Kedesh, the Adreili, the Ein Chatzor, the Yiron, Migdal El Karein, Beis Anas, Beis Shemesh, Arm Shatz, Rebbe Chatzrein. This is another Beis Shemesh. 19 cities altogether in their fields. Zonachalos, Veni, Menachtali, Mishkosim, Arim, Beis Chatzrein, all those areas whatsoever. The portion of Tali was the most rich and fertile in all of the land of Israel. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Barachan and his students went with Rabbi Yochanan to eat the fruits of Kenosa. When there were 100 people, each got 10 fruits. When there were only 10 people, each got 100. 100 fruits filled a bushel basket. It was so sweet and delicious they kept eating and eating. Rabbi Barabo ate so much that the flies slid off his forehead from all the sweat and oil. Rabbi Asi ate so much that their hair fell out. Shimon Lakish ate just a little of it and it made them drunk.
Who's that? Is that a Gemara?
Yeah, this is all a Gemara. All of this is from a Gemara. All this is straight out of the Gemara.
Are you here?
Shabbos. Yes, that is correct. No matter how much you ate, they were never full. They were never full. They ask, why was this food only in Genusa and not in Yerushalayim? They say, because if it was in Yerushalayim, then everybody would say, why are you doing a Leila Regal? To go see the Beis Mikdash? No way, man. I'm going for the fruit. That's what they would say. That's the reason why. People paid very high prices for the fruits of Genusa because a blessing is a very valuable thing right over here, whatever it is. And Naphtali is repeated twice because they received the portion that was by far the greatest of all the tribes. They didn't have that much land for that thing as well. Also, by the way, notice they also had the hot springs of Tiberia. They had the vacation spot. That's what Naphtali had.
They had the fruit.
They had everything. Yeah, Naphtali had the best portion. Now, obviously it wasn't that much, but it was enough that made them such a special tribe. I agree. It's amazing, by the way. Dun got the seventh and last extra part. Okay, so now we're going to be done. I don't know if that's Shalvin, right? I don't know. But I alone, right? The Yisrael.
It's all in the
that area. The Elom, it's enough of the Akron, the Altake, the Gibson, Balos, Yehud, I love that name, Yehud, Ubnei Brak, the Gas Rimon, Umina, Mea Yarkov, Arakon, Yimagvul, Mul Yapo. Okay, so I'm not, I'll tell you honestly, I have no idea where Dun was, in all seriousness. No clue. Because if you look at this map over here, Dun is all the way up here. Okay, if you look at this one over here, right, Dun is right over here, which makes a little bit more sense. That would make sense. You have Shalvim, KBY, and Tel Aviv.
Right.
Tuma and a little bit of Kedusha. It depends on how you look at Shalvim and KBY. Okay? But you do have them all together right up against the Mediterranean Sea. So that makes a little bit of sense. And just what's strange about it is that they went right over there. But what's so strange is that Dun is up here, then Dun is down there. So what happened exactly? How did they get switched up? We're going to talk about that a little bit. We see clearly they had the Nabok, they had Yapo. It's very hard to say that the Nabok wasn't off the ocean because Rabbi Akiva lived in the Nabok. So it'd be very hard to say that it's not there. Yeah, and the reason why is because they came off the boat. That's a Gemara.
He traveled a little bit.
No, the Gemara says that he lived in the Nabok, that's for sure.
I mean, that guy alone, I mean, maybe there's another, I mean, there's valleys up there, but.
It'd be very unlikely. It's more likely that the cities are accurate and that he was down there, but then you gotta wonder what's up there. So let's see. Vayitzi Gvul B'nei Dun Mehem, Vayala B'nei Dun. The Gvul B'nei Dun went from there, and then they went up. Vayilachamu in Leshem, and they fought with Leshem,
I mean,
the city
place,
of Leshem.
There's a place in one of these like hiking areas in the middle over there that it says Kever Dun. It's like, what's just
there you go. Vayukidosan, they captured it. Vayakos, the Lujakarav, and they defeated it by the sword. Vayirshosan, they drove them out of Yishuv, Babi Yikul, Leshem. Dun, Kedim Dun Aviyam. They called it Dun, like the name of Dun, their father. And that was the Nakhla of the Matze B'nei Dun, according to their families, these cities and all of their area. Okay, whatever. Why is Leshem considered separate? Why did they take Leshem out? Here we go. Some say the Leshem was part of the portion of the that the tribe Dun got in the lottery. That they didn't conquer it originally when they went there. Later, in the time of the judges, the population of Dun increased. They needed more area. So they sent spies to Leshem to see if it would be worthwhile for them to conquer too. Do you remember when this happened in the time of the judges? This was Pasul Micha. That's when Dun went out to go look for land and they found Micha with the idol. And on their way out there, they went to capture it. But originally it was given to them. Others say Leshem was not originally part of the land of Israel. When the tribe of Dun became too large for the portion that had been given to them, they began to look outside of the Holy Land for a place to expand. They could not take any more territory within the Holy Land because it had all been allotted to other tribes. And that would make the most sense. If they had this land right over here, right, they took that land, and then they had to go out of Eretz Yisrael in order to get more land, they went up there. Wouldn't that make the most sense?
That's so weird, though. Like, why would you relocate some families all the way up there?
Yeah, because all this was taken by Gad and Manasseh, and this is Moab.
Yeah, but it would also make sense to say that the Pelishim lived over here. There was a
I don't know why they never fought the Pelishim. It is weird that they never fully defeated
the Pelishim.
No, the end. Shimshon, Eli, David, Shmuel, and David fought the Pelishim. No one else did. The Pelishim did not happen up until that point. Yeah.
Some sort of punishment to us?
It must have been in some way, shape, or form. It's weird, though, that they never fought the Pelishim. I wish there was a parish that fully explained why we never went up against the Pelishim.
The first person to fight the Pelishim?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to see. Every one of the Shvatim, the Shoftim, I'm sorry, fights a different nation. Ammon and Moab and Edom even and Amalek. Everybody fights somebody. Like, Gidon fights Amalek. And what's his name? Ehud ben Gera fights against Ammon. And the Canaanim were fought by Othniel ben Kenaz. Everybody fights a different nation. At the end, Sisera, right, from Aram, fought against Deborah and whatever it is. At the very end, that's when the Pelishtim come in. And I don't know where they were up until then. I have no clue what they were doing up until then. Others say Leshem, they conquered Leshem not because their territory was too small, because they wanted a nicer location. That's the idea behind it. They wanted more than what it was. Okay, Leshem is also called Laish. You see that right over there? That's it. That is Laish. They called it Leshem because of the stones. City of Dun is identified with the Banyas. Have you ever been to the Banyas, guys? In the mountains of the northernmost part of the land of Israel, it is the source of the Jordan River, and the name Jordan alludes to this. I know we went on a hike there. I know it was one of the most boring hikes I've ever went to in my life.
Whitewater rafting over there.
Not there. It's a little bit further down. I remember going to the Banyas, and it's like this huge field, and then you go down a little bit, and then you find yourself in like this huge pool. Like, that's all it is. And it's a big waterfall. Not huge, but a big waterfall. I remember that. What?
You at least jump into it.
No, I think you'll die. I'm pretty sure it's not too deep. Yeah, I don't think the pool is so deep.
Yeah, Barbara Nell mentions the fact that the Pesel Micha happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that would make the most sense. I'm just putting two and two together over here, but that would be the idea.
When they describe Israel, it says Midan Dad Be'er Sheva. So that's the cool.
Dun is for sure the north, and then Be'er Sheva we know is all the way down south. But yet we see clearly they own Yaakov, Bnei Brak, and Shalvin, and I alone. Why you would take that land, I'm not so sure, but I guess they had a little bit of the Mediterranean Sea. Here we go, guys. It says, Vayechalu Winchol's Alrit Bulbul said, they finished. They finished inheriting the land according to their borders. Vayinu Bnei Yisrael Nachol Yoshua Ben Nun B'Silchom. So they gave the Nachol Yoshua within them. Al Pi Hashem Nasan Lo Zeir Shashol Timnath Seraph. They gave him a city, Timnath Seraph Bahar Ephraim. Vayinu Zeir V'Yishabal. So Yoshua then built up the city and lived in it. Elan Achol Zer Nichlu El Lazar HaKohen Yoshua Ben Nun B'Rashi Avos. These were the inheritances that El Lazar HaKohen Yoshua Ben Nun and the Rashi Avos gave Lamashos Bnei Yisrael B'Goro B'Shilo. Lifnei Hashem Petzal Amoid Out Tadol Amoid Vechalu Mechalak His Arts, and they finished dividing up the land. Now we got to talk about Yeshua. What's up, guys?
Can we finish with time? We end up beginning testing.
Yeah, you are. Do you have notes?
No, we have more than that.
I want to see all your notes. Go on to the next piece of the Nir La'akum for tonight, and then I'm going to check the notes tomorrow morning. Good. That is that. Here we go. Right over here, we have to figure out something. Yeshua did not take a portion without asking permission, and also notice that he only took a portion at the very, very end of the day. The name Timnath Cheres meant that the land was not good land. Before Yeshua settled there, its fruits were dry as pottery. But in Yeshua's merit, they became so fat and juicy they began to smell. So they changed it to Serach, which means putrid. That the fruits started to smell because there were so many of them and so fat. Others say that it was called that because the fruits were juicy and they spoiled quickly and started to stink. But when Yeshua came there, they dried like pottery, and that lasted for a long time. Either way, regardless, it was good or bad. It was good when Yeshua lived there. Yeshua chose the city because no one else wanted it. He took it and he improved it, right? Some say that it had actually been abandoned and lay in ruins. He took it and rebuilt it himself. He didn't want to deprive anyone of a good condition. It was around the tribe of Ephraim, correct? That's where it was, right? Timnath Seraph was a small, isolated city up in the mountains. It was a good place for him to be alone and to contemplate. The other person that lived in Timnath Seraph was a guy by the name of Elkanah, who was the father of Shmuel and Abba. That's the other person who lived in Timnath Seraph. That's the idea. There is in Timnath Seraph, or Timnath Cheres, a monument with a picture of the sun that represents Yoshua's grave. Why do they have the picture of a sun? That is correct.
But isn't that like, who put that up there?
No idea. Apparently, the people of Timnath Seraph. Maybe his kids, maybe his daughters, his son-in-law.
Nowadays, or this was then?
That was back then.
Have you been there?
I don't know. I've never seen Timnath Seraph. I've never seen Yoshua's grave. I don't remember their people. Is it Kevin? I mean, I'm sure there is. The question is if it's real, and does it have the sun on it?
Trips there on the day of his birth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long did he end up living in there?
He lived for 110 years, and he was there for a total of 14 years. So he got there when he was, what, 96?
So,
yeah, that's what it's going to be all together. Obviously, he married Rachel sometime during that time. He only was married to Rachel for 14 years. I don't know if he had a wife before that, he had kids before that. Either way, Chazal tells us that he never was zilchah to have boys, that he only had girls. And that is that, guys. By Gavra Shem Yoshua Lemor, this is in Parakov.
What?
Yeah, Parakov. Gavra Ben Israel Lemor, speak to Ben Israel saying, Tanula comes Ariam Mikla, Shivati Alechem Yad Moshe. Give for yourselves or make for yourselves the Ariam Mikla that I spoke in the hands of Moshe, you know, and I told them to be able to make. Now, there was no reason for him to be putting this off. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu made the three cities before they'd even entered Eretz Yisrael. You would think that the three cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael would have been made immediately when Yeshua came in.
It wasn't necessary, possibly.
It's always necessary because murder is murder. If there was murder, then you need it for that.
And there was too much confusion.
And even so, there was a command. You had a
confusion and jealousy and this and that. So let everybody take their place.
Okay, I hear you.
Maybe it was built into the system that you can't marry a mikvah until there's like Arim, they're established in the land.
The Chazal tells us that the reason why he says Daber Obnei Yisrael in a harsh Lashon is because he pushed it off. So that's the line that he's saying over here. He shouldn't have done that. Now also, when we were talking about the Torah, each time the Torah darshans why we're saying Dibor is Kasha Kigidin, as opposed to Vayomer, which is soft, Rach, Kanoshim. That's what it's supposed to be. The fact is, by the way, that Yoshua was reprimanded because he built his own city before he built the three Ari Mikla. You guys are correct. In theory, he could have put it up only after Bnei Yisrael divided up the land, but he shouldn't have made his own city before he made the Ari Mikla. The Ari Mikla should have been made first. Others say that all the Jewish people are being reprimanded. They should have gone in and said it themselves. Now, Yeshua had all the excuses in the world. He turned to the people and said, I knew you guys wouldn't want to give anything. He said, I didn't want to take anything away from you. But it doesn't matter. When you're a leader, you have to get up and you have to go ahead and do it, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeshua the last person about whom it said that Hashem El so-and-so lay more?
Yes. Yeah.
He didn't have it after the door.
Lanus Shomerotzeach. Alright, we're just going to go over some of the halakhos. Lanus Shomerotzeach, Makin Ash Bishkaga, so that they could run there a murderer who killed somebody accidentally, be believed out without understanding, without realizing about Yulach on the Mikla, Mikol Adam. It will be a place of Miklat, of protection from a Gol Adam. And also, Asmei Arim Aila, he would run to one of these cities, on the Shar Eir, he would stand opposite the gate of the city, the Dibur Bosnian, and Vikmea Hira, he would speak to the elders of that city as the of his words, but also, so Eir, they would bring him into the city, Alayam to themselves, and also, they would give him a place, Yashim Imam, he would live with them. When the goal of them would chase after him, they would not put the murderer into his hands. He would believe that he caused Reo because he did it without Das. He doesn't hate him forever and ever. He would sit in that city until he stood up for judgment. Then the Rotsia would go back. What are you showing him?
I was just saying, he pointed out about the Lashon.
Because this law is a Torahic law. That's
great, but
That's another issue altogether. But that's the idea that it was Vayidaber used in that way over here. There are a lot of halachos that we learn from these psukim specifically, by the way. One of them is that Makos says, yeah, the third time around really, we're going through here, it mentions over here that you have to go to the city and stand at the gate of the city and talk to the Zakenim. They have to be convinced that you can be let in. Another thing is that it's clear from these psukim that you went there before you got judged by Bezin. First, you ran to the Mikvah after you killed somebody, then they would call you. If you killed the mazes, they would kill you. If you killed the shogi, then they sent you back. That is that. There was a couple other things over here. Alright, back to issue. This is a pasuk design.
Is there any other mitzvah then that mitzvah derives that Yoshua had to put into place, or not Yoshua, any other person after him, because Moshe was more of a theoretical thing? I mean, keep in mind that was his theoretical purpose.
What do you mean, like theoretical?
Not
Moshe
theoretical.
Also made the Ari Mikvah.
Yeah, but he made the Ari Mikla. He said the Ari Mikla
Act. Why didn't Moshe do all this then when he did it? And be like,
do it in Eretz Yisrael.
No, I know that, but why
not set it up?
Yeah. Set up all the rules.
Probably because it's 14 years later. I mean, the rules were made already. Everything was made. Yeshua just had to do it.
Right, so what's so special? I don't know. She said, like, this is special because it's only in Eretz Yisrael.
Because it's in Torah. It's the only time that it's in Torah is being applied in this way. That's that. But yeah, I mean,
Moshe applied it.
Meaning, it's the only time that the Nevi'im mentioned that a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to speak to somebody and tell them do this mitzvah. For example, they did Shulma Meiser. Shulma Meiser wasn't started until 14 years after they came to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem didn't tell them do Shulma Meiser. They just got up and they did it. Bikurim only started 14 years afterward. Shemitah only started 14 years afterward. All those things.
So Moshe, if Hashem would have told you, you would have never done it. You would have forgotten.
I don't know, forgotten or pushed it off even longer. Probably that would have been it. He would have said, like, I'm not high even until later, but Hashem said, you're dying soon, do it now.
It says, Som Tassim HaMelech. Hashem never says, like, Tishmoy Rashim HaShmo Alem or...
Well, no, but there was a condition with that. He Yavo, when they come, Som Tassim HaMelech. That was the old idea. When they come to you and they ask for it, then Som Tassim HaMelech. That was the condition behind that. So you're right. That is a command, but it's a command only on condition. And when the other factors are involved.
They would come and say, ask for democracy. Would there be something to modify
the democracy? No. That would have been like the Shoftim, basically.
Shoftim.
What it was. It wasn't a monarchy.
In general, so let's go after it.
Yeah, it wasn't a monarchy. I don't think it was anything more than that. But anyway, let's go on. The Akishu was Kedesh Begulu Bahar Naphtali to make Kedesh, that's Shechem Bahar Ephraim, that's Kiryat Arba Yichevron Bahar Yehuda. Again, this is the same Chevron that Kalev got as his portion, but the fact is, Kalev kept some of Chevron. He gave the rest of Chevron over to the Levium. Can you imagine that? You just defeated four giants, you asked it for your, you know, for your portion for doing the Meraglo and everything, and then Yoshua's like, oh, by the way, your city's going to be one of the Ari Mikla. She said, my gosh! What did I do that for? It had to be that way. May Evely Agni Rechom Yisrael Fanasin was better than me, but from Misha of Mati Ruvain, Ramos Bagilad Mati God, that's Golan, Babashim Nasim and Ashes. It was Golan, Ramos Gilad, and Bethir. Ela Hayu, Aria Muada, these were the set cities of Hoban Yisrael, Ger, Hagor, Besokom, Lanu, Shamakom, Makanak. This dog, anybody who killed somebody accidentally ran there. Lo Yamus Yagoradov, Ad. Of those in Ada, they would not die by the hands of the Goladan until they came over there and everything like that. Okay, that is that, guys. We're on. That was a pretty quick start. How many psukim was that? 10? There's also going to be many such problems. All right, Tarakot Aleph. Vayikshu Roshei Avos HaLevim Alozer HaKoyim Yoshua Benun. I can just imagine somebody hearing that and saying, you should not be quoted. You should want to have more psukim. Vayikshu Roshei Avos HaLevim Alozer HaKoyim Yoshua Benun.
I haven't been stoned already.
It's too late, I know. My favorite Tehillim, by far. Oh my gosh, this is bad. Okay, so the heads of the Levim came over to Elazar HaKohen, Yoshua ben Nun, the Rashi Avos HaMatos of all Bnei Yisrael. Right? They said to them in Shiloh and Eretz Canaan, saying, Hashem Sivu B'yam Moshua says on our Moshav and B'gershay and Levam Tenu. Listen, Moshe commanded us to have cities to live in and fields for our animals. Now the kasha is, why did they wait so long? Why did they wait up until now? Why didn't Shev the Levi make up in there? So Levi had a bunch of answers. Ready for their answers? Said, we would never have dared ask for anything before the Mishkan was made. How could we live in a city before God doesn't have a dwelling? So we waited for the Mishkan to be made in Shiloh, and then we decided to go out. That's number one, okay? Number two, we did not want to be rewarded for work that we had not yet done. When the Mishkan was in flux, and it was going this place and that place and the other, the Levium did not have a set job, neither did the Kohanim. They were working, whatever it was, but it wasn't a set job because they didn't have that much work to do. When they set the Mishkan up and everybody used to come to them for a Aliyah L'Regel and they came during the week and they came to bring Korban Chatas and the Korban Ashram and whatever it was, now they were seriously busy. So then they said, it's time for us to, we are now being rewarded for the amount of work that we're doing. Give us land, give us a city. That's number two. Number three, this is not something that's in your hands to reject or accept. You're all guys to give us cities because that was part of a divine decree that Levium are going to live somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be among Klal Yisrael. So we have to live by you. So you have no choice but to give us cities and allow us to live by you. That's number three. Number four, we could have asked for them before, but your chiyuv to give them to us
did not start until the conquest and distribution was complete. And that's why we waited up until now. Because your fee to give us the cities waited until you guys knew what cities you were going to have. That was that. They also wanted to know that their cities would be good sized and not just tiny little towns that you're going to live in. Okay, they did it. They gave from their Nahua that they were given by God. They gave them these cities and the areas around it as well. All right, so unfortunately, it's going to be a long one, but let's go. Ready? From Dalit until Men. Okay, so first was Kohath, and the Bnei Aaron HaKohen, the Kohanim, they got from Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin 13 cities. But they cost an Osarim, all the other people of
Kohath. How many are there now? There's like, I mean, there was Itamar and Elazar, and then Pinchas, and like their families.
Not so many.
13 families, that's like one per kid.
Yeah, not so many, but they grew. We know that they grew, but you are correct. The Bnei Kohath that remains, they got from Ephraim, Don, Mechati, Shev, Menashe, Bagoro, Aram, Esther, they got 10. Bnei Gershom, you spoke to Bnei, Mati, Yisachar, Mati, Asher, Mati, Naphtali, Mechati, Mechati, Menashe. Gershom got Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and half of Menashe, Babashon, outside. There was another 13 cities. Merari got their families, Reuven, Gad, Zvulun. They got 12 cities. They got them in the Goro. Okay, the first Goro went to the Kohanim. Okay, and that's that. The fields and also the things around it, the fields around it, the grassland. That Kali Ben Yifuna kept for himself, the outer lands. They got Chevron, Esmigershah, and all the fields around it. Livna was Migershah. Yatsir was Migershah. Eshtemoa was Migershah. That's Cholon and Migershah. Cholon still exists today, right? Cholon is a regular city, right? Debir and Migershah. Ayin and Migershah. Utah and all of its Migershah. You like that, right? Beit Shemesh was Migershah. Arn Shant Tesha, the Eishinash Shvatimim, they got 9 cities out of those 2 spots. Matimine Binyamin. From Binyamin is Givon, that's Migershah. That's Geba, that's Migershah. That's Anatot, that's Migershah. That's Almon, that's Migershah. Arim Arba, they got 4. Okay, so that's 4 and 9. That's 13 altogether. Kor Bnei Aaron, Akwan, and Shosei Arim Migershah. We're supposed to make cost, Elohim, and Shosei Migershah. They already go to Lomni Mati Ephraim. I eat Nulahem. As Irmik Roshah, that's Shkhan, they got Shkhan, that's Migershah, the Har Ephraim. And they got Gadir, that's Migershah, that's 2. That's Kibsain, that's Migershah. That's Beit Cholron, that's Migershah. Arim Arba, that's 4. Mati Don is El Tekei, and Migershah. Gibson is Migershah. Ayalon, that's Migershah. Gasrimon is Migershah. Arim Arba, that's another 4. That's 8 altogether. Mati is Mount Menashe, Tanach, that's Migershah. That's Gasrimon, that's Migershah. Arim Shain, that's 2. That's 10 altogether. Karim Ezra, Migershah, and Mishkos, and Ekos, and Osarim, they got those. By the way, they might not have given them the entire cities. They might have given them parts of the cities. That's how the Quantum got 13 cities. They weren't living the whole city, but they were given a nice amount of land.
The Migrash, they also get the Torah, so they got the
Navos. A land around it. They probably got that. Doesn't mean they were the only people there. Well, the Bnei Gershom, Yishvos Aladim, Mechati Mat Menashe, Ir Mikla Rotzeh, they got Golan Babashan, that's Migoshel, that's Beshtro, that's Migoshel, Arm Shain, that's 2. Mati Tokor, that's Kishon, that's Migoshel, that's Dobar, that's Migoshel, that's Yarmuz, that's Migoshel, that's Ingan, that's Migoshel, Arm Arba, that's 4. Mati Asher, that's Mishol, that's Migoshel, that's Abdon, that's Migoshel, that's Tokas, that's Migoshel, that's Mechov, that's Migoshel, Arm Arba, that's 10 altogether. Mati Naphtali, that's Ir Mikla Rotzeh, that's Kedesh Begalil, that's Migoshel, that's Kamos Dor, that's Migoshel, that's Kartam, that's Migoshel, Arm Shlosh, that's 3. Kolar Yishon, Mishkosam, Shlosh, that's right here, Migoshan. That was all together. How many? 13 all together. That was good. That was good all together. Okay, here we go. It says, Mishpachos Merari Halavim, right? Out of the Mishpachos of the Merari, right? The Merari was the last ones that remained. Neis Matam, Zivu, and it's Yakam, it's Migoshav, it's Kartam, it's Migoshav, it's Dimnav, it's Migoshav, it's Na'alov, it's Migoshav, Arim Arba, that's 4. Matagot, it's Mir, Miklad, Roteach, it's Ramot, Bagilod, it's Migoshav, it's Machanayim, that's Migoshav. As Kashman, it's Migoshav, it's Yaz, it's Migoshav. Kolam Arba, that's 4. That's 8 altogether. Kolam Arba, the name of what? I have it.
In parentheses?
No.
I have them in parentheses.
I only have, I guess, Lamed Hey, they break it up.
I don't know why. I have no idea. Well, let's go. Let's finish off to the end, and then we'll think about it. Korinth, Nimrod, and Shmolzim, and Osarim, and Shmolzim, and Levim, and you go to Orange, same as right. There were 12 cities altogether. Kolari, Levim, and Sokol, Kuzas, Bnei Yisrael, Arim, Arbanim, Mushmon, and Migrashan. Altogether, there were 48 cities. Tiana, Arim, Eilat, Ir, Ir, Migrashas, and Rokta, came up, Kolari, and Eilat. They were all for those cities. They were for all the cities around it. Everything that they had was for the Levim. All of those were around. I have all the cities right over here. If you wanted to see where they are, they're right around there and stuff like that.
So this is what happens. He starts happening.
Yeah.
And then it says, Mate Ruvain,
right.
Puts it in parentheses, but it's still technically puts it on the A. And the parentheses start from above Mate Guy.
Do you guys have anything at the bottom?
Wait, I don't understand. Was this supposed to be taken out?
I don't have it. Did I skip it or no? Did you hear me say it?
You said it.
Minchas Shai. Yesh Sparin, Shekosvam, Shnei, Pesukim, Elohim, Matri, Ruven, etc. The same reason with Pusim, Yisham, and Saldat, and the old prince, Pesukim, Elohim, Gamdik, Zikra, Yomit. With the Sifrei Sfarad, Yishanim, they only have the first pasuk, and it's written in another way. This is one of those things that probably got added in or got worked out on when Ezra was working on it, trying to figure out what the cities were. I don't see why this is a problem. You just see, unfortunately, yeah, there must have been a mistake at some point.
I mean, there is already brought down about different mistakes they were in the Torah, but they had to unify the text.
By Ezra, you mean?
Yeah.
There's a whole long piece on that. That's very controversial. I don't know what exactly it means. Ezra Sofer was known as the Sofer because he did fix things up. There's no question.
Right.
So how he fixed them up and what he did, though,
Barbanel,
it's a little controversial.
I think the Barbanel brings down a source where there were like three Sefer Torahs that I guess were authoritative, but they all had three different differences between them. But each difference, two had and one didn't have. So he took the majority. But the Torah that he wrote was not identical to any of the three.
It wouldn't be Torah, but it would be Tanakh, wouldn't it be? You mean Tanakh or Torah?
I think it was Torah. I have to check it up.
This is really something to check up, but I will tell you.
This
is one of those things where biblical scholars go all crazy and they go, you know, whatever and nuts with it. I don't really care that much. And the reason why I don't care is because, listen, we have a Mesorah when it comes to this. The Mesorah has been handed down from generation to generation. We've had Nevi'im our whole lives. Not our whole lives. I'm saying throughout Klal Yisrael. We've had these for a long, long, long time.
Right,
there might have been a mistake in the printer.
No, but
I don't know what it is. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm saying it doesn't matter to me. What that means is that there's nothing that this does to me. The fact that that pasuk might be one big pasuk or some of those words might be taken out or something like that. It was a mistake in one of the printers. Somebody got up and he started the printing, and since people were copying off that, they might have copied from there, and then 500 years later, people made a mistake. Kiss me, yeah. Somebody made a mistake at some point. Who knows? I don't have an answer for it, but that doesn't bother me so much. Not as much as it does by other things. All right, let's go with Mem Aleph through Mem Gimel. God gave in Israel all the land that he had sworn to give their father, Yeshua. They drove everything out by Yeshua, and they lived in it. Hashem let them rest around like he had sworn to their fathers. Well, Amad Ish Bikmeam. That's funny. From the Megillah. The Yisroel Amad Bikmeam. The Yisroel Amad Bikmeam. Anyway, no man stood in front of them. Mikol Adam from all their enemies. Mikol Adam, Nafsam Hashem Yadam. God gave them all into their hands. Lo Nafal Dover Mikol Adam Shadur Shadur Hashem Ophi Shah Kol Ba. Now, one thing was gone from what I could have said they were going to have. Everything happened. They got everything that they were supposed to have over here. How could Yeshua write that Yisrael taking possession of the whole land? Haven't we already learned that the final conquest would not be completed until after his death? At that time, he wrote those words, much of the land remained in the hands of the Canaanites. So number one is... Some of that weren't. weren't fully conquered. Some say it means only that God fulfilled all of his promises. Whatever remained unconquered was the fault of the Jewish people who didn't do what they were supposed
maybe
to do.
Maybe the pasuk was inserted later.
By Timothus, who wrote it up. Others say that Israel refers to Yaakov himself, not to his descendants. That's why it says Israel, rather than Bnei Yisrael. You see it says the word Yisrael in there? These psukim tell us that the promise to inherit the Holy Land that God had made to Abraham and Yitzhak was given over to Yaakov alone and not to Esav. It was to make sure that we were the ones who got it, not them. And even though they hadn't yet completed the conquest, they had certainly achieved peace. There were no enemies who were willing to fight anymore. They were all too afraid, and they were giving taxes. That's the idea behind what this was over here, and that's what it was supposed to be. Okay, we're now up to Chav Beis. Natasha is, should we start off the parak or not? This is when God and Reuven. 5 minutes. Where do we start from? Yizayin or Yitzchak? And this is going to be hard to do, but let's start a little bit. Yoshua called out to Reuven, Gad, and Chati, Shevet, Menashe. And he said to them, you did everything that Hashem commanded you to do, that Moshe commanded you to do, that Tishma Bakoli, you listen to my voice, the Korshet, Tzvitz, and everything I commanded you to do. For many years, you have not forsaken your brothers, Adiyamaz, until today. And you kept the Mishmor of the mitzvah of Hashem. Now Hashem has let off or allowed to be good your brothers, like he had said to them. Now you can go home to your tents. The land that you have inherited. You can go back to those areas that over there on that side. You obviously did it with a genuine desire to help your brothers, and did it completely. Even now, did they approach Yeshua to ask to go back? They didn't. They were told by Yoshua to go back because they had done everything they had done, right? They had done everything that was there. That's the amazing part of what happened over here. These were pure and righteous people. That's how great they were. They waited for Yoshua to call them out and to make them leave. It's not like a guy who wants to leave yeshiva just gets up and goes. Instead, they literally waited until everything happened and everything was there. What else? Okay. They did it without asking for a reward. There's a couple things also over here. That was that. Then it says, Rak Shimu Ma'ud. But you got to be very careful. Las is the mitzvah of the Torah, Shafiba, Sam Moshe, and Hashem. To do the Torah and the mitzvah that Hashem was commanded Moshe. La'avat Shem Alokech, and Lachs Bechod, Rachab, Lishmo, and Sabbath, Dov Kabo. To love God, to go in His ways, keep His mitzvot, stick to Him, love the Bechod, and Lachon, and serve Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. La'avorchim Yoshua, Ve'eshalkam, Yoko, Aleim. Yoshua blessed them at that moment, sent them away, and they went back to their tents. And the problem is that you're going to be living outside of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's land. Living outside of Eretz Yisrael is not going to be easy. There's no way you're going to be able to keep the mitzvahs normally, because unfortunately it's going to be very, very difficult for you. Right? That's the idea behind it. So we told them that you're going to have to start davening, and you have to start really working on it. So listen to this. There were two beggars who used to stand in the street and sing that people would give them money. They both had beautiful voices, and they did well, because people enjoyed their singing. But one was pious and God-fearing, whereas the other was not. The first one would always sing about how great God is. Only at the end would he add some praises of the king, that he not seem disrespectful. The other would always sing the praises of the king. He hoped to gain the favor of the king and all of his servants. Then he would add a few words about God to show that he too was religious. Every day they stationed themselves near the palace, where the people of wealth and influence would pass by. One day the king himself heard them sing. He was impressed by the second beggar who sung his praises so beautifully. He said to his servants, "This man may be poor, but he is wise. He knows whom he must thank for all the blessings he enjoys in this kingdom. But his friend is just a fool. He babbles on about God instead of showing gratitude to me for all that I have done." When the servants heard this, they stopped patronizing the first beggar, and all the coins went to his ingratiating companion. But the pious beggar was not discouraged. He realized that this was but one of the tests that God was putting him through, so that he might show his true faith. So he sang God's praises all the more. One day the king decided to reward the beggar whose praises he enjoyed so much. He called his baker and ordered him to prepare dough for 2 loaves of bread. The baker left and returned shortly with the dough. The king then gave him 2 silken purses. One was filled with gold coins and the other with crumbs. He said, "Put each of these purses into your dough and bake them into 2 identical loaves. Then give the one with the gold to the beggar who sings my praises, and the other to his friend." be careful not to get them mixed up, or you will pay dearly for it. The baker did as the king commanded, and no trouble telling the two loaves apart, for although they appeared to be identical, the one with the gold was much heavier. So heavy, in fact, that when the second beggar received it, he thought it must not have been properly baked. Thus, true to his devious and self-serving nation, he decided to exchange loaves with his unsuspecting companion. As soon as the baker out of sight, that he said, "Dear friend, will you do me a small favor? Will you exchange loaves with me?" The other beggar realized something must be wrong, and when he felt the bread, he knew what it was. He was a kind and generous soul, and he did what he did. The pious beggar washed his hands, sat down, and realized it was gold and jewels. And why does God give me this? Surely it's because he doesn't want me to spend my time begging at the palace. My praises have found favor in his eyes. He wants me to be able to spend all my time praising him, not begging for a living anymore. After a while, the king began to wonder what had happened. He found out what happened. The king was greatly humbled. He realized that he'd been foolishly arrogant for his own praises to those of God, tried to punish a sincerely pious man, right, who would not stoop to flattery. He understood that it was only God's messenger, etc., etc., etc. Okay, the man who said that. What a privilege it is to be able to praise God. You should never take it lightly. In his great mercy, he created his divine presence to dwell among us. When we enter the synagogue, we stand in the palace of the king, etc., etc. And then he goes into prayer. Very nice little piece on the MOAs, right?